All right, guys, welcome back. Sam's Army, episode 2.57. Great episode ahead. We got a good interview with two kids you guys either know already or will know soon. We got Matt Fries and Brendan Aronson of the Philadelphia Union. Fun discussion that's coming up in just a little bit. But first, we have got some breaking news to discuss. No surprise about who it's going to be about. But first, we'll bring in Mikey Podcast. Mr. Mikey Fowler, how are you doing today, Mikey?
I'm honored to be on such a historic moment in soccer history. About this with you. Yeah, this has some gravitas.
It does. It got me to write a blog about it, which I usually just stick to like, you know, previews and, you know, league guides. But I had to write something when the greatest of all time hands in a legitimate transfer request that gets confirmed by Barcelona, because it feels like, you know, there's been a lot of the talk of this. Yeah. Is Messi gonna leave? Is he gonna, you know, for the last few years, this is like actually for real, like he wants to leave.
No, mom and dad sat us down in the living room and said we're gonna be living in separate houses now.
Right And but, well, listen, that doesn't mean it's gonna happen yet. We're gonna get into that. So
the papers aren't filed yet, but they told each other that they're splitting.
But they dislike each other strongly right now.
Yeah, and it's better for everyone if they're
apart. All right, so just to set the stage. So Messi has handed in a transfer request. Barca has confirmed that. And basically the reason he can do that is because he is the biggest swinging dick in the world, and he got into his contract. He got a clause put in that basically says he can opt out after any season and just like go somewhere for free. He can just do that. Because he is like the best of all time.
Now, does the clause say any season or June 10th?
Well, so that's, you know, it does say June 10th. And that is the big, huge hang up here, is that Barcelona is going to say he did not trigger the clause by June 10th. Therefore, he has to stay for another season. Or if he leaves, then whoever, you know, he goes to play for has to pay his 700 million euro transfer fee. So, you know, that's a bit of a legal hang up there.
700 million to pay him 50 million a year.
I saw a tweet that New England Patriots revenue in last year was $600 million, and this is like more like $700 million. So it's just crazy. Obviously, the whole point of that clause was to make sure he doesn't leave, you know, unless he opts out at the right time. So that sets up what could be a real ugly legal battle. This could go down in many different ways at this point. Obviously, there's there's a few clubs that, you know, seem like they have the wherewithal that they could pay his pay package, which is like 100 million a year. When you know, considering the, you know, his wages plus his image rights and all this other shit, the stuff that he was not paying taxes on and all that for so many years. I'm going to throw it to you first though. So how do you see this playing out? Where is Messi going to play next year?
Well, the only smart way to go about this discussion, because you said there's so many different avenues, is to look at what I consider the most reliable source of information is Las Vegas.
That absolutely is true. Yeah,
so I look at the gambling odds of where he's supposed to go next year, right?
Yep.
Not a lot of thought in anybody's brain about Barcelona for next season. I think it's really done, so I need that to be hammered home to people. I believe it's really done.
You and I are on a different page here, but keep going. Yes,
interesting.
Keep going.
I feel like it's done.
Okay.
And then
there's good reason for that. And I will back you up on that.
It's a toxic place. He's trying to put it's them or him again. And I think he's at the age where they're not going to say him.
Okay. So you think he's going, so that leaves, and I'm going to lay out the different teams here that are really in the running. So City is number one, I think by far the most likely landing place. They have they've got Pep. They are motivated as shit coming off another season of disappointment in Champions League, not to mention getting beat in the league by Liverpool. And, you know, they've got more money than God. Then you got Inter, PSG, Manchester United, interestingly, Juventus, and Liverpool are the other ones that have been thrown around there. The other two I'll just throw out are Newell's old boys, because, you know, that's Messi's childhood team back in Argentina. He's talked about going and playing for them at some point. And then finally MLS. which we'll get to that in a little bit. But let's start with, you know, the real big swinging dicks of the European situation. You know, where do you – so you think he's going. So where do you think he's going?
Well, that's the thing. I'd, instead of knowing anything about that, I think we should just talk about what his what motivates Lionel Messi, right? At this point, it's got to be legacy-based at this point in his career. So what's best for his legacy? Where should he go, right? What's the best narrative for him? Inter and dethroning Juventus would be really cool.
Yeah, great storylines there with Ronnie still at
that would be awesome. That would be really awesome. City with Pep. Does he just want to play with Pep and then avenge that whole thing and bring a Champions League to City? That would be monstrous. So I think that's why those two are the clear favorites. But
does Pep want him? Because then everybody
for sure.
You can't win a Champions League without
him. Yeah, he's been fine. He did it. He was with Bayern. He's fine. Those are the two for me. Obviously, you have to talk about it. I have a friend who's a Boca Juniors fan that's hell-bent on an Argentinian club because the release clause also says he can't play in Europe. So, like, but if that's true, then I don't know. It's a long thing. But
listen, Argentina, I could see him ending in Argentina at some point, but they don't have enough money. There's not enough money in the country of Argentina right now to pay him.
And my favorite, this is my favorite. I put it on Twitter earlier. Just hypothetically speaking, narrative-wise, if he just goes to Real Madrid and kicks the shit out of this Barcelona team.
Oh boy, that'd be some fucked up. That's beyond even like
that's what I'm rooting for. Come up with. I'm rooting for that in my heart so that you see Barcelona fans who switch and then both clubs decide who gets the root for who. And that would be fucking madness. I would love that. That would be my like sick, twisted dream.
If you are going straight, you know, if you're believing the bookies, it sounds like you're leaning to City, right?
I think
gun to head.
Yeah, kill me now, but I think he's going to be taking his talents to Manchester. And if it's in red, then I'll just stop watching the sport. But if it's in blue, at least that's Pep.
That would be interesting. A couple people. So of the teams listed, I threw some teams out. So I didn't think Liverpool – I don't think Liverpool would want Messi. They're not – they're the most balanced, stacked team out there. You think they're going to pay, you know, the amount of money that it would take to get Messi to come in? Absolutely not. Like, Liverpool has no interest at this point.
I have a Liverpool friend who said he would provide depth on the wing for them.
Okay, buddy. Manchester United, Ed Woodward, you know, he can't even tie his shoe.
No,
correctly. He's not going to figure out how to.
This is where Zaha thinks he's going. United, by the way.
Really?
He thinks they pulled out of the Sancho deal.
Well, if you really put a gun to Zaha's head, he'd probably say Arsenal. so I'm throwing United out just because of Woodward. Juve, first of all, I'm not sure they have the money. I'm not sure the financial fair play could handle it. I'm not sure Ronnie would want him. Mm. And there's
sure a lot he would.
For Juve, I'm not sold on PSG. I mean, that maybe could happen. I don't know what we keep saying financial fair play. I think maybe City just blew that shit out of the water. So maybe we don't even have to talk about it. I don't, for whatever reason, I just don't think he's ended up at PSG, even though they definitely have enough money.
And they've always ended up with a star like that. I mean, I know they have Neymar and Mbappe, but recently,
if Messi leaves Barca, Neymar's not going to leave PSG to go to
I'm saying like they, aside from Neymar and Mbappe, they've been getting big, like they've had those stars late in their careers.
I don't know if they could handle another one. Inter. So I actually heard some on Twitter questioning whether they have the funds to do it. I thought that they had enough, but you know, God, I can't even count to like, you know, 50 without losing track.
Play with Lautaro.
Big numbers. I'm not really.
He'd play with Martinez. That would be good.
So I will say City is definitely my guess if he goes anywhere. And I will say this. There was a tier one journalist who's been all over this story. He was the first one 10 days ago saying Messi, you know, wanted out and all this stuff. He says today Messi definitely wants out. So that adds, you know, some credence to what you're talking about. I still don't think it happens, and let me tell you why. There is this legal thing hanging over the situation, and they have to get it figured out, like, now. It has to be figured out very quickly. I just don't think that they're going to be able to get that figured out in the, you know, the short amount of time that they have. I don't think that Messi even wants to really get it figured out. I think he's using this as a ploy. I think it's a way to get the board out. I think it's a way to get Bartomeu out. I think it's a way to perhaps get another little boost in salary. You're mentioning what motivates Messi. Well, Messi, like the Messi clan, has shown repeatedly that they do not like leaving any money on the table. And, you know, I think this is a way that they can get some more money out of Barcelona. Would not surprise me at all in that. I just think he's going to stick around with Barca. And maybe it's just me being a, I don't know, a traditionalist or just naive or something. But I don't see it happen. I think he's going to stick with Barcelona. That'd be my guess.
That's kind of how I usually feel about these things going into them, just because my brain can't comprehend the change. I think I do that a lot. So we'll see.
Yeah.
This one I just feel like is gone.
The other one, the only wild card I'll throw out there is MLS. Like, just fucking get him. Do it. I don't care how you do it. They got billionaires. You know, Kroenke obviously is a billionaire. They got Mansueto here in Chicago. I know there's a lot more billionaires out there in the ownership group. What is a couple hundred milli for a bunch of billionaires? It's probably nothing.
So he can just come here and walk around with the big swinging dick for like 6 years.
You don't even need to assign him to a team. Like, I get, like, you know, that it doesn't really make any sense logistically, but like, just let him be like an offense, you know, all-time offense. Back when you used to play, like, you know, 4-on-5 football, when you just listen, just bring him over here, get him in the league. I don't care. I don't care. I just don't care. Just have him come over. That's all I want. A couple, you get two seasons Galaxy, out of him. Maybe. Let him play. No, not with one team. God damn it. Because as soon as you put him on that one team, you might as well just hand him the supporter shield and the MLS Cup and just say, you know, obviously it's yours. just have him play fucking all-time offense. You know, just basically let him play. No, you can't play all-time offense. You can't go back and forth in the real game. You know, obviously you can do that in scrimmage. But, like, have him play, like, two games for each team every season. That's all I'm saying. Just do it. God, that'd be awesome if we can get an MLS. I don't think there's any chance that it happens. It doesn't make any sense financially. It doesn't make any sense logistically. But man, that'd be fucking awesome.
That would be the coolest thing that's ever happened. That probably. Awesome.
Let's circle back. So we're done with Messi. Let's talk about the other side of that same coin, Barcelona. What a fucking Messi-ass mess they are in at the moment.
I mean, they couldn't be more corrupt.
Oh, God, just things are just like Suarez, Puyol, Eto, they all came out publicly in support of Messi, which was basically like a big fuck you to the club and especially to Bartomeu.
Yeah, that is as crazy. That's the first time I really thought it was over, was the Puyol reply.
Right. Like the other ones, even though Suarez is still on the team, it sounds like, and we're going to get to Koeman. He sounds like he told Suarez.
What gives Ronald Koeman the fucking balls? Listen,
before we get to that, I got some words on that too. But the fact that Puyol, who has been Mr. Barcelona for decades, came out and said, fuck you, Barcelona, I'm on Team Messi. Whew, that's big. That's big. Like, I can't believe that the board, all of them, not just Bartomeu, I can't believe that the entire board isn't gone already. Just, like, gone.
Who fires the board?
I don't know. See, I don't know how the structure works. And I was thinking of this. Because, so the difference between Barcelona and, like, a club like Chelsea, or basically any of the EPL clubs, is that it's sort of like Barcelona is like a democracy, whereas these EPL clubs are more like it's like a fascist they have a dictator, you know, they have like Roman Abramovich at the top of the food chain. And so if a single player, you know, comes in and whatever, basically does what Messi is doing right now and saying my way or the highway, and it sounds like this isn't the first time he's done that at Barcelona, but you know, he is the biggest thing at Barcelona. He basically says, I'm going to leave, or the board, especially Bartomeu, is gone. And the board, especially Bartomeu, is absolutely going to be gone by like tomorrow.
Crazy.
You can't do that at Chelsea. Chelsea would just be like, all right, well, you know what? Fucking either shut up or you're getting sold.
Right.
And the same thing with most of the EPL clubs. We got off on a tangent there. I'm just throwing shit out that I don't even know.
I think this is what we're talking about, because I think about the idea, like, while you're talking, if this is Messi's stronghold attempt at like a wholesale cleanse of the club he loves, like if he looks around and when he walks into work every day and he's just like, this is not the fucking club. Like, you know what I mean? Like if it's digressed to a point where it's this thing he doesn't want, and he loves it so much that he's doing this.
You walk in, and your wife is like 20 pounds overweight. She's like, you know,
I just picture him like, yeah, like walking, watching these six guys in suits that he doesn't know personally make decisions. He's probably like yearning for the days of something else.
Well, right. Listen, that's what a club should be. The club should be about the players and the fans. And the, you know, this front office and stuff, like, I get it.
That, do you think he has a romanticized version of that? Do you think it's always kind of been the same?
No, I don't think so. I just think he knows where his place is. And in La Liga, in the structure that Barcelona is anyway, he knows that he's the fucking the biggest thing there is there.
So
he's
makes himself lead owner, scout, manager, basically, and then he's happy? Like,
basically, but then he won't, you know, I wouldn't want the you know, the criticism when you don't win Champions
League. What a crazy thing to think about, like the position that he's in. This is a big fucking decision, and he made it today.
Yeah, it sounds like he did. And the real question is, and we don't know this, is it just a ploy?
But the decision, I'm just talking about tangibly, the decision to hand that in says, A, I'm not playing for the club in its current state.
Yep.
Something has to change, or B, move me.
I'm gone. Right.
Which Absolutely. Is wild that happened among the biggest star of all time just did that.
Best to ever do it. All right, well, let's talk about Koeman. So Ronald Koeman got hired, fucking 2 days ago? And supposedly, again, these are all through, you know, rumors and Twitter and all that stuff, but supposedly he basically told Messi that he's not going to be afforded any, like, special privileges or anything like that. Brother, that takes some fucking balls. You just got your ass thrown out of Everton, like, a fucking year ago or 2 years ago because you sucked. You're going to go down and talk like to the greatest to ever do it and tell him like, you're not special. Like, I get it. You're a coach. You got to sort of demand some respect, but you also sort of need to earn it. You can't, I mean, I know a lot of people now only know Koeman from like his coaching experience. Like the dude was a baller back in the day for Barcelona, no less. I mean, he was a serious good player, great player, but I mean, listen, at this point, you're a coach and you kind of know your place in the pecking order. When you just got thrown out of Everton a little while ago, it's not like you're going to come in with these big, big swinging balls. Like you need to respect the big man in charge who is Messi at Barcelona, by the way. So yeah, that was a bold move by Koeman.
Ronald Koeman, AKA Little Sam.
Bold move. So yeah, he might get hired and fired like faster than Lopetegui.
So, the article in BBC by Gillam or whatever, he wrote about it extensively.
Pronunciation isn't our thing, don't worry.
Whatever. So he believes he is convinced that it was the intention of the club at the highest level to leak part of the story, especially the bit when he was admitting to Koeman that he felt closer to leaving than staying. That extract would turn the fans against Messi so they could eventually reese him and use that money, over $50 million double, to renew the squad.
Whoops.
So the front office and Koeman, like that to me,
Listen, if Messi does go, then maybe he'll keep his job. If Messi stays and that's true, he may be gone.
Like, picture the two of those fucking guys in a room. The disrespect Koeman has to have anything demonstrative to say in that fucking room is pathetic.
You almost got to respect the ballsiness.
You think he fucking went home and was like, I think I made a huge mistake.
I think that when Messi came out and did what he did today, I think he probably did. Probably just a big old dump in his pants.
Look at this fucking guy, man.
So what happens to Barcelona? Are they basically going to like go the AC Milan route and become like irrelevant for like for a while here?
I don't know, man.
I don't know what's going to go on here.
Antoine Griezmann.
Listen, they've got a lot. They've got a lot of work to do. I'm sticking with it. I think Messi's still going to be there, though.
Yeah. Talking myself into the idea of him wanting it being cleansed, I would still bow to Messi and change the board, and he will probably maybe play again. So, but if he puts on a Blue City jersey next season, I'm going to.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'll talk myself into, like, loving the fact that I get to watch him every weekend in the EPL, but, like, God, that would suck. And I was talking to Larry Nance about this earlier. I would much prefer him be at City than pretty much anywhere else. Like,
The reason is because you're not going
to
catch City
would be
anyways.
If he went to Arsenal, I would have to jump out a window. I would just.
He's not going to Arsenal.
Obviously not. I love those rumors that he's going to Tottenham.
Are Marble Halls, baby. He'd never go to Tottenham.
Listen, we're going to get to Chelsea, but Chelsea has been going after everybody on the market. So maybe he can end up at Chelsea. Chelsea would be like a 0.001 step above Arsenal in terms of how bad it would be. It'd be awful. But, you know, City would be awful, be bad. I mean, Tottenham would have like a very small chance of, you know, winning a trophy without Messi in the league. With Messi in the league, like, we need so many teams to fuck up. Like, there's just no goddamn chance it's ever happening soon.
It'd be funny because Liverpool fans got that taste and now they want more and then Messi comes.
That would be interesting. That would be interesting. I don't want him to come to the EPL. I want him to stay in Barcelona. I don't want him to go. But if he comes, I'd rather him be at City than pretty much anywhere else.
The historic number 10 shirt for City worn by Robinho and Dzeko.
It's about time they got somebody in that shirt, though.
Aguero for a minute, but yeah.
Okay, good point. Okay, well, let's move on. We'll see. I'm sure we're going to talk about this again.
It's just an exciting conversation. I hope we did it justice just to how interesting it is.
It's crazy.
Like, I mean, from listen, a sociologist,
the best to ever do it may switch clubs. Like, Ronaldo just did it last season.
But he also started somewhere else.
He did, and also Ronaldo isn't the best to ever do it. There, I just people. But like, you know, the fact that Messi, you're right, because Messi's basically been a one-club kid he was a kid, yeah. Since he was a legitimate kid. Yeah. It'd just be crazy. It's a crazy situation. So, yeah, we'll discuss again.
Always known he has some character. It's the first time we're getting a real fucking show of it.
Hey, I wish they were doing an all or nothing on this fucking situation rather than Tottenham's fucking.
Nobody would let us see that.
Schmortion of a fucking season.
Nobody would let us see that.
All right, we got to move on. We'll go to the other stuff we got written down. Champions League final, Chelsea and MLS. So let's start with the Champions League final. By the way, biggest game in the season just happened. Thank God it happened. I didn't think there'd be any chance in the world a few months ago that it was going to.
Great game.
But yeah, it was a great Champions League, I think. The semis was a little bit of a downer, but the final was a lot of fun. Bayern Munich are a fucking wagon. I mean, what else are you going to say? Like, you
they
know,
are PSG, complete.
The PSG holding them to one goal is actually kind of impressive.
It was a good game. Yeah, Thiago Silva was good. Kimpembe was good.
The fact it was 1-0 is the biggest.
I thought Juan Bernat was fantastic.
How did this game end? This game could have been like 3-2 at halftime.
I know.
How it ended 1-0, I never know. I will never know.
I thought the Spanish players stood out for me. Herrera played well, Bernat played well, and Thiago was man of the match, in my opinion.
Yes, Thiago was very good. And if he ends up at Liverpool, that will be a big blow to the rest of the Premier League. Since we're not going to talk about Liverpool, if they get him, that would be a brilliant piece of business. I will just throw that out there. it was too bad for Neymar. Because he had been playing very well, even though he hadn't been scoring goals. And then he absolutely laid an egg in this game. He was, him and Mbappe were just completely just shut down. And you know what? I think that's more of a testament to Bayern just being a fucking wagon.
Sula was good coming on.
Listen, the whole team was good. Who wasn't good for
Bayern? I mean, yeah. I mean, you could go down the line with Bayern Munich.
And they got the entire team coming back, plus Leroy Sané next year. So, yikes.
And what a coaching decision to start Koeman.
Yeah, yeah. He
did
nothing but right, you know, he made nothing but good decisions ever since he came in.
If you want to talk about Bayern being a complete team, they have the same fucking players. It's just Hansi was good. Hansi did a good job.
You gotta give him a lot of credit. He had some fly ass white kicks on the.
Yeah, he looked great.
I saw. Yeah, it was a good look.
PSG proud of him. PSG played well.
They did. Did you hear Ander Herrera's interview after the game?
No,
he was just completely honest. He just basically broke down the whole game and was like, "Yeah, we had some chances and we didn't fish them. And when you do that against a team like that, you're gonna get your ass beat." You're gonna get killed is what he said. You're gonna get killed. And it's basically he was just so honest. I've heard him talk before and I knew his English was pretty good, but like he was I gained a lot of respect for him coming off the field, walking right into that interview after like the biggest game of his life. And
it's funny, man. It's
just completely honest and open about what happened. It was nice. It was
funny how much It's funny how much more likable players get when they take off the Manchester right. United jersey.
Or just, I was going to say out of EPL, just like out of the league completely. But yeah, there's something to that. Okay, let's do Chelsea. So Chelsea have basically been on a warpath in terms of the transfer.
Yeah.
You know, Roman Abramovich apparently sold like two of his super yachts because they are spending money like a fucking crackhead at the moment. They got Werner, they got Ziyech. Is Havertz confirmed yet, or is that still...
he stopped playing with Leverkusen? Yeah,
right. I just don't know if it's like officially yet.
They haven't tweeted it.
Okay, so it's like right on the edge. They got this kid Malang Sarr.
Great piece of business there.
He's good. Like out of nowhere, all of a sudden,
they just, good player.
This guy. And then I think the one that I would am most interested in talking about anyway is Thiago Silva, who they got on a free from PSG, who just played in that Champions League final. So you can't knock the guy. I mean, he's 35 years old though. So I'm not going to knock him. I'm just going to say,
doesn't
I
matter.
Don't know about this move.
You watched him the other day.
He's solid. He's not a guy like, you know.
They need to win now.
Yeah, and well, okay. And in that sense, it makes sense. I just, you know, the skills, the precipitous decline. I'm a guy that's been scarred from watching two seasons too many of guys like Alderweireld and especially Jan Vertonghen, and their skills have like down off a cliff, and they're younger than Thiago Silva, and it's just, you never know when that's going to happen with, and it's important for a guy like, for a center back, like to just lose a step. You go from like a really good player to being a very mediocre player just like that. It was free.
And the guy that you watch Sunday is going to be plucked and put in Chelsea's 11, and that's a great thing for them.
Yeah. I mean, listen, he's a great defender. He played well in the final. I mean, he played well all season. PSG's defense were lights out. I mean, pretty much for the entire
season.
And
he's a leader. He's a back four changer.
Yeah. I'm just – and
that's going to help a lot.
It makes me nervous. Like, I don't know. Just makes me nervous.
They got rid of fucking David Luiz and bringing that Brazilian, and now that's some bullshit.
Yeah,
you should have waited a year. How about you wait a year?
I still don't think Chelsea competes for the championship next year.
I take it back. The more I listen to myself talk about Liverpool and City, I remember I said it when Larry was on there, but I might have just been in awe of Larry's general handsomeness or something. I don't know.
I get it. I can understand it.
I mean, we're talking about Messi coming and whether Pep wants him. And now I'm like, all right, they're pretty good.
But listen, Chelsea have taken a big step forward. Got to give them credit.
For sure. I mean, they're definitely, I would put them at the third place team by a fucking mile.
Yeah. I still think that, right. They're as far ahead of everybody else as they are behind, I think.
Yeah.
Liverpool and City.
They probably win a lot of the other leagues.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. So well done, City. Well done, Chelsea. We'll talk about some of the other teams' transfer moves as things sort of transpire. But, you know, everything's just rumors at this point.
Yep.
Except for Tottenham getting that who the hell do we fucking get? Joe.
Nah, listen to you.
Joe. God, I can't even remember his last
name. Oh, my God. William Saliba made his debut today. Everybody, round of applause.
How am I blanking on the City goalkeeper's fucking
Joe Hart?
Joe Hart. How the fuck did I blank on Joe Hart's name?
I wasn't even thinking about what you were trying to say
Joe Hart. So we got Joe Hart. So there's that.
Hey, that's great. You know who he'd start for? Chelsea.
That's awesome. That's Joe Hart. Great. So we'll get into the rest of the transfer news as it transpires. We still got a few weeks on that.
Are we gonna go over England? I forgot.
We're just gonna do MLS.
Okay.
And call it a day.
Note on that. Yeah, they didn't select the left back. Ben Chilwell and Saka left off. They have no left backs. It looks like they're gonna go with Mings or play Trippier and Walker on either side as two right footers. Southgate not picking the left back and leaving off James Maddison and putting on Harry Winks and leaving off Jack Grealish and putting on Harry Winks. And yeah, I mean, what the fuck is this guy thinking?
Harry Maguire dropping out.
Harry Maguire selected right after he literally, whose man's is this in fucking Greece?
And then unselected, you know, so at least he got unselected.
Whatever. He's a fucking moron. And yeah, the idea of not having a left back just blows my mind. Tyrone Mings is a left-footed center back. So that means they're going back three, which means they're playing two right-footed wing backs. He's a fucking idiot.
Isn't it just Nations League? It's not like
I don't care. Pick a team.
It's just Nation League.
Whatever. It just pisses me off. If I'm Saka, I'm going to Nigeria right now.
Yeah.
Whatever. That pissed me off this morning. I woke up
as an Arsenal fan. I can see where you're coming from.
I woke up angry about this.
All right, let's do MLS quick. So they're in the middle of phase one. We've talked about this on the last couple of podcasts. They so far, I saw a Chicago Fire player came down with a positive test. It seems like they've avoided, they being both Chicago and basically the rest of the league, they've pretty much avoided, you know, the MLB situations where they've had the serious outbreaks so far. Thank
God.
Fingers crossed.
Looked at his heat map and then just disinfected that area.
I don't know what the protocol is, but man, I just keep thinking like the next day I wake up, I'm going to like see like some team with four positive tests and it's just going to go from there. But so far so good on phase one.
Testament to the athletes.
It is well done. They're not, you know, hitting the bar scenes or club scenes, wherever the hell they typically do. And, you know, the schedule, the one thing I want to say about the schedule is, so they're basically teams are getting forced to play every 3 to 4 days and they're all doing same day travel and all this stuff. So like, it's definitely a different feel to the season. I was talking to Dax the other day and he said he does not like the same day travel. It just sort of throws off your rhythm. But the schedule itself is kind of awesome because there's so many rivalry games, derbies, as we like to call them in the soccer universe. There are so many derbies because they're basically putting teams together in their regional pockets, essentially. There's some exceptions, but basically like, it's like a really condensed version of all like the big games. So like, you know, Houston and Dallas played, Toronto is basically playing all the Canadian teams are just playing each other because they can't come to the US and go back to Canada because then they got to go for the 14-day quarantine. So all the Canadian teams are playing each other. LAFC and LA Galaxy played each other, Miami and Orlando, Atlanta, Nashville, Colorado, Salt Lake. I mean, Portland and Seattle. I mean, like, basically these are all rivalry games. Yeah. And that's, like, all we're going to get. I don't know how they're doing the schedule, and I don't know how they are going to try and make this, like, some sort of balanced schedule because it's definitely not going to be balanced at the end of the day. But it's cool for fans right now, especially. We'll complain and we'll bitch about it later. But right now it's awesome because, like, they're all cool games and all big rivalries. And let's talk about two of them. So there's let's start with LAFC, LA Galaxy. Are we calling it El Trafico? Are we calling it LA? What are we calling? We're calling it El Trafico. Okay. Yeah. So El Trafico, not what people were expecting. Yeah, whatever.
I don't like it.
Listen, pronunciation is not my thing. El Trafico.
There you go.
Did not go how people thought it was going to go. Galaxy came in and basically wiped the floor with LAFC.
Yep.
Vela went down with a knee. It sounds like a strain, I guess. Knee strain. Yeah. So he's going to be out for...
Unfortunately, one of the most fragile players in the history of the game.
It sucks. I mean, he had, you know, extra time off not playing in MLS's back. And, you know, it's one of the risks you take.
Only a strain, though.
Yeah.
I got good news with that.
Right. It wasn't not a tear or anything like that. But, yeah, I mean, LAFC, they've really been up and down this season. Galaxy came out of nowhere. They sort of were not looking so good and came out and beat them 2-0. Well done, Galaxy.
That happens in an early season.
Yeah,
you think
MLS.
Too much of one team, and then you're like, oh, yeah, it's kind of all kind of close.
I mean, listen, MLS parity. Nobody goes poor. I've said this.
It's crazy.
I keep saying nobody goes poor betting underdogs in MLS. and the other one was Portland, Seattle, where Portland is coming off MLS's back championship, and Seattle came in and beat their balls in 3-0. Mm-hmm. It was interesting. I mean, it was a close
game.
That's
a hangover. That's for sure a hangover.
Yeah, and it was a close game. I mean, I was watching the game. Like, you know, it wasn't like it didn't feel like a 3-0 game. It it felt pretty close. Seattle got one goal, and then they got two in like the last few minutes. But yeah, those, you know, interesting games. One that wouldn't stand out if you're just looking at the table was NYC and Columbus on Monday, which was a very interesting game. Columbus was like, I think they had the best record in the league, and they're playing quite well. And they came in, and basically NYC was the much better team. Like, they were just a better team. They scrounged one goal and came away with a 1-0 game. Just shows NYC.
And it was a crap goal too.
It was, and they had a bunch of chances, and they didn't do much with it. But NYC, it just sort of shows that the parity, like, NYC was at the bottom of the table, and like, they're clearly one of the better teams in the league.
They are,
and they showed it, I guess, by winning that game. The only other thing I'll say, other than Chicago winning the first game at Soldier Field, well done, Fire. Felt nice to finally get a fucking win. Was Matt Turner. And I guess I got to give credit to Andre Blake as well. Not big on giving keepers credit, but those guys are fucking killing it.
Matt Turner's fucking legit.
Yeah. I mean, they're both of those guys are legit, and they actually faced each other and went to a 0-0 draw. So imagine that.
Rev's disappointing me this year.
Listen, Rev's will be okay. Rev's will be
one
okay.
Tonight.
Okay, we'll do a quick ad read and mention Andre Blake. So we're going to then talk to his current understudy at the moment, Matt Freeze, and their teammate Brendan Aaronson. So two cool guys, fun interview. First though, quick shout out to Fubo TV. You know, this is, I've been talking about it for weeks now. Maybe even months at this point. But, you know, there's no better way to watch soccer anywhere, anytime, any place. You basically got it at your fingertips. They've got EPL on NBC. They've got Fox Sports with the Bundesliga. Well, they had Fox Sports. I guess Bundesliga is moving over to ESPN. And now they're adding ESPN, which you get, you know, you basically get MLS, USL, Serie A and Bundesliga all on ESPN. This is almost like a fucking ESPN commercial. But basically, you can basically watch TV at your fingertips anytime you want. It is so useful. I am now basically sold on it. I don't know if I can go back to, I still have my uncut cord that I need to cut. And I don't know. Well, I just haven't done it because I'm lazy, but I'm going to cut it because basically I'm sold on Fubo TV. So check them out. They're basically, you know, cable at your fingertips anytime you want it, and they're cheaper than cable. So basically there's no reason not to. You want to try it out, go to FuboTV.com/Sam. That is FuboTV.com/Sam. Check it out. And now we will move along to the interview with Matt Freeze and Brendan Aaronson. Let's take a look. All right, guys, welcome back. I am now excited to be joined by two members of the Philadelphia Union. You will remember one returning guest, Keepagandist, Matt Freeze. How you doing, Matt?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm not bad. This is the first Zoom interview I've done with like guys that are in masks. This is like a little bit of a new experience, but no, it's good. And with him right next to him, in fact, in the same room is Brendan Aaronson, also of the Philly. So boys, number one, thank you. Can't thank you enough for jumping on. And number two, how you doing? How you feeling today?
Good. Here you go. Feeling good. Just finished a pretty hot practice outside. So I was cramping as I was coming off the field, but otherwise I'm chilling.
I can imagine. It's probably like 100 degrees out there at this point.
It really gets hot during this time.
So we're going to dig into your backgrounds a little bit in just a minute. You know, you guys came up through the academy. You played together, I think, with Bethlehem Steel in the USL. One of you guys ran off to a little – you know, rinky-dink college on the East Coast for a little bit there. And then you joined, and you guys are back together on the senior team now for Philly. So we'll get into that. Let's start with bubble life, though. You guys are fresh off this, you know, crazy experience of MLS is back in the bubble in Orlando. Obviously, your on-field performances speak for themselves. You guys had a great run. Brendan, you sort of made a name for yourself with some highlights that people are still talking about. But off the field, you know, how was the experience, and how like Was it as bad as you were expecting?
Honestly, like, as you were there, time, the first two weeks, I'd say, kind of was going very, very slow. Kind of like we were grinding results. It was super hot. And then you kind of get used to it. There's some stuff to do. I mean, honestly, MLS did a pretty good job of setting all that up. We had like a game room where we could play darts, hang out as a team, lots and lots of video games for me, at least. And you just kind of found ways to just get on with it. You know what I mean? And just get through it. And it honestly turned out pretty good. And I was happy with it.
Nice. Nice. What's the video game, the hottest in the streets with the kids right now?
Oh, for me, I don't know if you don't
really. I'm not a big video game.
For me, I play a lot of Warzone, Call of Duty Warzone. I play Fortnite and Rocket League.
Nice. Do you guys play with others, like, you know, other guys in the league, other guys on the team, or, you know, guys in Europe from your national team, guys? You know, is there like a soccer crew that like basically goes out and shoots each other?
Yeah. So
yeah.
On the U23s, and I went to a camp with him. Jesus Ferreira, I play Fortnite with him a lot. We actually joined this Fortnite tournament, and he's probably my Fortnite partner, really, because they had an MLS Fortnite tournament.
Nice. And, you guys must be pretty good then.
Yeah, no, it's just like all the guys can join. It's like a fun thing to do, but me and him actually did pretty good in it. So.
Okay.
We have the older guys on the team, like Joe, Alejandro, and Ilsenio. They always get together and they play. They come down to like breakfast screaming about a big one last night. Yeah.
Nice. I'm not a gamer, so like I'm just asking like random ass questions. I don't really understand it, but I get like the sentiment and how you could get into it. Mm-hmm. So now when you got out of bubble jail, you know, you got back to Philly, what's the first thing you were just itching to do? And you like, you know, now that I'm back in the real world, what did you do?
I think, to be honest, both of us probably did the same thing. He went with his girlfriend. I went with my mom, but we went straight to the beach. We were just chilling there for a day or two. So distancing from everyone else, but just trying to get, you know, some relaxation time in for a day or two. Otherwise, there's not much, you know, we had like, I think 3 days off and then we were back in. I came back a day early. We were just grinding again. So
yeah.
When the first thing you said was Brendan's girlfriend and my mom, and I was wondering where you're going with that. You took it a different direction. I'm glad you did. That's good. That's good. Okay. So you guys are back. Union, you guys are playing games. I think you just came off what a draw, 0-0 draw with New England. Obviously a tough team. You guys played them a lot lately, it seems like. But taking a step back, you know, the Union, you guys are basically, I guess, sort of setting a high watermark for the franchise at the moment. You know, you're coming off of last season was probably the best season you guys have ever had. I think you're fifth in the league overall, third in the East, which I think is the best it's ever done. You guys obviously have started out pretty well this season. You look good. You made a nice run at the MLS's back. So, you know, what is it that is different about the Union in the last couple seasons? You know, what's the secret to this success here? Is it, you know, just a different group of guys? Is it changes from like the front office? They've got a different sort of approach, philosophy. You know, the coach is the same. Jim Curtin's been there forever. So what's different, you know, in the last couple of years?
Well, I think there's a few things to be considered. Like the first is probably, you know, it seems like we definitely have like an identity as a team, and we're kind of all really buying in, and we all have each other's back. And the chemistry part is something that, you know, we've been really, really working on. Jim and Ernst and the rest of the coaching staff, you know, they've been, you know, hounding us to make sure we're getting close off the field as well. I think there's that, you know, I think individually, you know, we're just playing pretty well. And then I think third factor that, I know he won't say, but you know, our philosophy as a club is developing homegrowns and young players. And you know, we have B and Mark who are right now two. You know, they just got two out of the best 11 in the league during the tournament. And you know, it's paying its dividends. It took some time, and now we have those two, and then we have, you know, the rest of us coming up behind them. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess that's a nice segue, because I was going to ask about the academy. You guys have had an incredible amount of talent coming through the academy. I mean, it's probably not talked about enough, or at least not known about enough in more of the casual sort of MLS fan sphere. You know, is there just something in the water in sort of the Philly, you know, New Jersey area? Or is there, you know, something going on in the back room that they just have an eye for talent? What is it about the academy that they really seem to, you know, have their shit together?
Yeah, I think that, like you said, I think that it's a super professional environment from the day you get there. And I think that even when I came in for the first time, when I was 13 playing with 14-year-olds, and that was my first year. And that's when I first met me. I mean, not me. That's when I first met Matt, Mark, Font, Freeze came the year after. I met all these guys at 13 years old. So we've been together and we've been friends since then. So it's been kind of a crazy experience, and it's been ups and downs throughout the academy. And it's just something that's so professional. It's at a young age and the coaches are good. You have good training. You go to a school, YSC Academy, where you're around these kids 24/7. You're just with them all the time. So you bond on that level. And I think that it's just a ton of kids that are willing to work and put in the work to do the best that they can. And that's the kind of atmosphere that's there.
Well, I think it's kind of like us and then RSL, I would argue, are probably the two that
Dallas
and Dallas that first did it. It's like, you know, this European academy style based, you know, playing in an academy of the school and everything. And I think the premise of it was like, you know, why are the European youth teams so much better than ours? You know, they're not like more athletic from a young age. And the reason is because we didn't have these academies. And now when you start these academies, and now the first generation of the guys who join them, him, Mark, me, eventually, you know, everyone else like rising up, it is going to produce the people that then are competing with the world's best in Europe. And so it's, you know, just again, taking time, but you don't see changes over a year for something that should take 10 years.
Okay. So you mentioned the team, it's a tight knit group. A lot of you guys have been playing together, you know, since you were pre-pubescence at this point, assuming everybody's balls have dropped at this
That's
point.
What I was so gonna say, maybe still, but
behind, you know, when you get away from the cameras and the journalists are all up in your face and everything, who is the most different from, you know, the personality, the persona that we see sort of on the field and in front of the cameras? Who's most different when you get away from that stuff?
It's probably dancing shit.
That's a good question, actually. Honestly, yeah.
Bedoya
or Sergio?
I mean, Sergio is like crazy. You know, always dancing and stuff, but he always does that on the camera too.
He's just crazy all the time.
Yeah, just a few guys that like, they're like, I would even say Free sometimes. He likes to like dance and do that kind of stuff. Like, he's like, we all joke around in the ball locker room. Like, it's open space. No one's like nervous to do anything. It's just like, you do your own thing. No one judges you. That's the kind of situation that we're in. But
I'd say in general, like, we're kind of like in the locker room, we're always like chilling, like laughing, having fun. And then when you get to the field, it's super, super serious, strict, business-like, which in my opinion is probably the right way of going about it.
For sure. For sure. Okay. Who's the biggest jokester on the team? Who sort of keeps things light?
Sergio. For sure. He's hilarious. I mean, the man speaks like 5 words of English, but can get any idea across just the noises he makes and like the shit he does.
He sounds like a little baby, honestly.
Hey, communication, there's a lot of different ways, you know, to communicate, not just verbal, especially if English isn't your first or second language. Okay, so now digging in a little bit, what, you know, Matt, you obviously, I assume, have a pretty good relationship, interesting relationship with Andre Blake, who is playing phenomenally right now, sort of unfortunately for you. But, you know, what have you been sort of picking up from him? You know, obviously you see him play every day. What are the tips? You know, what are the ways, the things that you feel like you need to improve to, you know, get to that level or beyond him or whatever else?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm really blessed to be behind Andre. I mean, he's without a doubt the best goalkeeper in the MLS right now. He's playing out of his mind. He is a great training partner. We push each other every day. And I've learned like a lot, I think, kind of about how to handle the off the field type stuff, if that makes sense, more than necessarily on the field. He, you know, we do talk a lot on the field, but he's someone who is very, very, you know,
professional
off the field, holds himself high, but also knows that when he goes home to his kids, you know, the game isn't the game anymore. You know, he now has to transition and be a dad. And I think that balance he's found is really important, and something that, you know, I want to find as I get older. And then specifically on the field, I don't think, you know, he and I are pretty different goalkeepers. You know, I'm taller, he's springier. You know, we just have different playing styles. And so I think, you know, I don't try to emulate what he does. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm there pushing every day. You know, I'm confident in the way I'm playing and stuff like that. So I don't really want to change that too much, but you know, for sure he has so many pointers that he helps me out with about positioning and stuff like that.
Okay. Now to you, Brendan. So you were named to the first team back when I think you were like 17 at the time, yeah. Which is just insane to think what I was doing at 17. I wasn't getting minutes for, you know, the first team MLS. So, you know, was there an older player that sort of took you under their wing? And, you know, did the mentor-mentee relationship thing?
Yeah, so, you know Harris Nugent on FC Cincinnati?
Mm-hmm.
So he was at Philly last year, of course, and he was for sure the biggest role model and made me the player that I was last season and gave me the confidence that I was last season, because from day one, we went to preseason and I was his roommate. And there's some part of me that thinks that they put me as his roommate for a reason, because he's known to be the guy that kind of puts people under their arms.
Mm-hmm.
So from day one, he was like my dad in soccer, I guess you can say that. So they always make jokes about it, but it's true. Yeah. It's true, because he literally was. He looked out for me always, and I have so much respect for him. And just the way he plays, he's got so much class. So it's something that I tried taking from him, and I asked a ton of questions and was like a sponge last year, and I think that's what really helped me.
Nice. Okay. Now, so we've talked a little bit about here and now and where Philly is. Let's take a step back and, you know, get to know you guys, because you guys have been playing together and in the academy and whatever for many years. When did you guys first meet?
So he was three years older.
So I was 2 years in the academy older, but I didn't actually formally join the academy until 2017. I was just kind of training with them, so I guess
we were never on the same team. Yeah. Of course, I heard about Freeze because all the younger kids always look up to the older kids.
Sure,
never really met formally.
We'd be like random training together and stuff like that.
But it was nothing like we were on the same team. Like we talked.
Oh, I know what it was. Oh, it was the first time we were like really started getting close was when the rookie symposium in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Like we like obviously knew each other occasionally and stuff and saw each other before that. But then right when we both signed, we were sent to Phoenix, I think, Arizona for a rookie symposium, and we roomed together.
The rookie symposium's a lot of sitting and listening. So
it's super boring.
It's crazy, but
does anything happen like off the field at those rookie symposiums, or is everybody like we're just rookies, we just got to be like follow every rule? And
I mean, it's like a day and three quarters in Phoenix. Like you fly there, you sleep there one or two nights, and then you fly back.
Yeah, and it's just your 9 hours or 10 hours of just sitting in a chair listening to like rules and all that kind of stuff.
So you weren't necessarily a sponge for that experience.
Yeah,
there was a lot of information.
Yeah, a lot of.
All right. Now, you guys have also been in the national team system forever. Like, I know that you've played on – you guys have both repped all sorts of different levels. What are some of the best memories you have from those experiences so far?
You got it.
Here we go. Well, with the national team, I probably have a few. I think that my first international trip was U15 with the U15. We went to England, and it was at St. George's Park. And that was my first game when we played England. That was the first country I played. I played the full 90, and it was a really, really good, I played really good that game, and that was something I took. But I was never really fully in the system. I always was kind of in and out. I never really was a stick figure. It was kind of like an up and down kind of thing for me. But then I finally got with the U23s when I started playing well last year. And another probably big point for me was the Japan game. We had a friendly and I had a good assist that game. And that was probably another big thing.
It wasn't just a good assist. He megged someone and then played Rubald Mason for it was sick.
Yeah, those highlights. Hey, that's what makes life worth living, soccer worth playing. So, Matt, anything for you?
I actually didn't. My first call-up was for the U19s. And then I did well. I mean, that was like kind of – soccer was kind of like a backseat thing for me, I guess I would say. I didn't really dedicate my whole life to it until I was 17, 18. And then, you know, I think I grew. I was a lot shorter back then, so I didn't really have the, you know, the capability that I do now. And then since then, it's obviously been all soccer. And that was kind of like my my entrance into the big stage, the U19 camp with Brad Friedel. He was the coach of it, which, you know, he was the guy that I grew up watching. So it was really special to get that invite from him. And then from there, I think everything kind of exploded after that. Like, that was when some interest from Europe came and then the interest from the Union. So I think that first U19 camp was really, really special for me.
Okay. So Brendan, you mentioned that you've really exploded into like the national team scene recently. When did you first catch wind that, you know, Greg Berhalter really had big plans for you?
Yeah. Well, I was talking about the last thing that we were talking about was moments that I've had, but the biggest thing for me, I'll go back to that real quick, was getting that national call-up for the first time and getting my starting in Costa Rica. That was the biggest thing for me because I've been watching the U.S. World Cups, anything you can imagine, for the longest time. And it's always been a dream of mine to rep my country. So that was huge for me. But like you said, I think that he showed a lot of trust in me, bringing me into actual camps that mean like games like Canada, and we played another team. And those are big games. And he brought me into that camp, and I was exposed to Pulisic, Weston McKennie, and it was really an eye-opening experience because you're around these guys that are superstars and you see how they work and how good they are. So I think just being at that camp and getting all these kinds of call-ups just has really helped my development a lot.
Sure. And your confidence, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, for sure. That confidence, so.
No doubt. Now, so I know Berhalter's pretty, you know, he's a no-nonsense guy. So he's probably told you, he's pretty straight up what he thinks of you and what he wants from you. So what has he said as far as what he wants your role to be in the national team and what you need to do to cement that place?
Yeah, I think just for getting back to more camps and just playing in the national team, I think it's being more like, so when I get the ball in our hands, I think it's being more careful with the ball in our hands and connecting passes and going back to get it, not being afraid to get on the ball. And I think that's what he really sees as a midfielder, is not being afraid, staying between the lines, always looking to play forward, and just being willing to score goals and create assists. And I think that's what really a complete center mid is in the system that he wants to play, is someone that will work a lot, connect passes, and get into the box and score some goals.
Okay. So this is a bit of a segue, but, you know, are there any areas of your game that you think you need to improve on to be successful at the next level, say European stage?
Yeah, for me, I think it's my final third play. I've been working on it tirelessly, and that's something that I want to get better. And like I said, I've been working on it a lot, but definitely my shooting and my final third decision. My final third decision has been getting a lot better, I think, just from the past games that I've been playing in, but definitely my shooting. And that's something I've been working on, freeze the scene every day. I do it a lot, and I just want to keep continuing to get better at it, because that's something that 10 really needs in its game.
Okay. So this one's for you both. I'm not breaking any news here. There's, you know, rumors swirling around about a lot of guys on your team, which is a testament to the kind of talent you guys have. I mean, you guys are stocked up there. So, you know, do you guys talk amongst yourselves about, like, who's going to be the first to go overseas, or, you know, joke around about, you know, who has the bigger clubs coming after them, sniffing their, or kicking their tires or whatever else? Is that something that you guys talk about at all?
Yeah,
there's nicknames, we like, and stuff. Yeah, we joke about it.
There's definitely like nicknames, like.
I mean, I'll say it. So we always joke and call him Bundesliga. yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff, but it's again all in the locker room, and then when we're on the field, it's all business, and we're not really you know, not worried about that. Individually, I'm never worried about that. I'm just trying to get better every day, and I'm sure that they are as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, when you see these rumors swirling, Brendan, you know, is it usually news to you, or does your agent like sort of, or whoever, keep you up to date like on a daily basis? So this team's inquiring, or is it like all these rumors you see with, like, you know, I've read all the teams that are, you know, supposedly sniffing around. Is it news when you read it on the internet, or is somebody sort of telling you ahead of time what's going on?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think I hear about it, and it's awesome to hear, but it's something that I've dreamed about for a long time. But all I can really say is I'm focused on the union, and I want to do as best as I can this year with them and help them as much as I can and work as hard as I can in every training session. And that's something that I'm fully focused on now. And I don't like to look at Twitter. I don't even have
smart
to go on it, but I have Instagram. I don't like going on that kind of stuff, but I kind of like to stay away from that. But yeah, I hear about the things and it's really exciting, but I'm focused on the union for now.
That's a very professional answer. They've trained you well. Now, have you talked to any of the guys in Europe, like Pulisic, Weston, Gio Reyna, Sargent? Are you friends with any of those guys, and have they given you any advice?
Yeah, well, for me, I think Zach Steffen had given me some advice, I think 2 years ago when I left college. When I was thinking about leaving college, and then everything, you know, big happened for him a year and a half ago. And so we connected like once since then, and then a few of the other guys in Europe and I've connected, but I think it's a little bit different because most of the, you know, American goalkeepers right now are kind of based domestically. I don't know for Brendan though.
Yeah, no, I've talked to some of the guys, and just from camps and stuff like that, like you just ask questions about like their teammates, because you always want to know, like Christian plays on Chelsea, so you want to see like William, but you always ask kind of questions like that. So mm-hmm. I think it's just on that kind of basis, and you always want to hear, because things over there, when they're exposed to being around these great players, you always want to ask the player, are they really that good, that kind of stuff.
Okay. So I assume you guys probably have seen this, even though I know you, Brendan, you try and stay off the internet, which is a very smart move. Stay as far away from Twitter, especially, as you possibly can. But I saw German newspapers were calling Brendan the Kai Havertz of the U.S. or something like that. You know, you're linked to a handful of Bundesliga clubs. You're being like, you know, throwing parallels there with one of the best players in the Bundesliga. For the moment anyway. So this is actually for Matt. How big is Brendan's ego at this point?
I'm trying to think of some form of analogy. No, I don't got anything. No, he's the, I'd argue that probably the most humble relative to where he should be on the team. He is, you know, extremely hardworking, doesn't have to be hardworking, but he still chooses to be so. And he's always business, and you know, it's really, you know, and this isn't me just blowing smoke up his butt, but he definitely is someone who has kept his head down despite all this insane, you know, recent success. And again, I think it just kind of speaks to the culture that we have at the academy. Mark does the same, you know, Matt's on the field right now. He's doing the same. I was doing the same last year when I was getting the game. So
he hasn't accidentally like asked you to go get him some coffee or like do his laundry yet?
No, I would never do that. He's older than me.
I'm older than him.
And bigger.
youngest guys do everything.
Like, so yeah, like right. For example, last year it was, I think me, Mark, and B were starting every game for like five games in a row. And us three were the ones putting the balls away after practices. You know, with the equipment managers, which I think is, again, just kind of speaks to the culture that we have here, and you know,
they keep you humble.
Yeah, they keep your head down. The coaches make sure to keep you your head down. It's good.
They know how to knock you down and build you up in the right way.
It's very purposeful.
Okay. All right. Now I got some rapid fire questions. These are totally random. I'll shoot them one at a time here. So I'll start with you, Matt. True or false, Brendan's brother Paxton is going to be better than Brendan?
It's true. I had to say it. I've never seen him play. I had to say it. He is good. I've heard
he's pretty exciting to watch. That's all.
Yeah, I have not seen him play. I've just heard a lot of people, you know, shooting some sunshine up his butt. So good for him. Another Aronson. Hopefully, do you guys got any more brothers or sisters?
I have a sister. Yeah.
Is she good? Did she play?
She just turned 14.
NWSL future.
Yeah. No. I mean, I don't know if she's that into it. She seems like she is. She's starting to get into it more. Nice. But she's a very, very good player. So we'll see what she does.
Yeah, it makes sense that she would get into it when her brothers sign professional contracts.
One of them might head overseas to be a millionaire soon. That's my opinion, by the way. That's not you guys. All right. So this one's for Brennan. How often does Matt remind you that he went to Harvard?
Honestly, like not much. Like I don't really hear about it that much. Like I'm being honest with you. Like he'll talk about like just seeing his friends on the weekend or something like that. But like he never tells us about like his like education. Like smart. He used some big words sometimes where I'm like, wow, I don't know what that means.
I'm also probably the dumbest smart person you'll ever meet. So it's like very easy to forget that I went to Harvard.
No, but he doesn't talk about it like that. No.
All right. I didn't know that was possible. I thought if you went to Harvard, you were like, what you had to say. Like at some point in the first 5 minutes of conversation.
I'm the least Harvard person you would probably ever meet. That is very true.
All right. I'll throw this one at Matt. Who do you think is going to be among your teammates? Who's going to be the first one playing in Europe?
I think there's no question. It's either Mark or B. So one of those two. They just got to keep it up and keep their heads down. So up to them and up to Ernst, obviously, but it'll be one of them too, I hope.
All right. In fact, I meant to throw this in earlier. I'm going to throw it in just because we started talking about transfers again. Has the coronavirus, the COVID thing, had any impact at all on like discussions for you, Brendan?
I wouldn't say. I think that you see it around the world. It doesn't seem to be taking a huge hit. I just think that it just messed up the play. Just messed up teams playing and just like empty stadiums, stuff like that. Like we played in the New England Patriots stadium and it's 80,000, no one's there, you know what I mean? So it's weird. But that's really the only thing that's really affected, I think.
Okay. Now on a scale of this is for you, Brendan, on a scale of 1 to 100, how addicted to TikTok are you?
This is good because I actually used to be addicted to it. I stopped. So I'll probably say 50 because in the beginning of it, Matt knows I was addicted. I was addicted to it.
We would be driving home from our game in Gran Canaria, Spain for the US team, and he'd be like, show me some TikTok. So funny.
Yeah, but I would probably say 50 because I was obsessed with it. And then I was like, I'm spending way too much time on this app. I gotta get off. So I just stopped going on it.
So I was going to ask you how you kicked that addiction. That's got to be a tough one. Did you just basically force yourself to not have your phone in your hand ever?
Yeah, I still go on like Instagram. I like going on Instagram, YouTube, stuff like that. But like I just decided not to go because TikTok, I'd be on for like 2.5 hours a day.
Jesus. Okay, I'm going to like expose myself as being like an old here. I've never been on TikTok and I see TikToks every now and again and I'm just like, okay, that's funny. Is it just like, do you get down a wormhole of like watching videos that are similar?
You're just not looking at the right people.
You got to follow the right people. You got to have your page has to be good because mine are all funny. Like I'll swipe through and all. It's like old Vine. Like I love Vine.
Right. I remember Vine. Yeah.
And it's customized for that user. Yeah. Like so his would be funny.
I have a lot of meme stuff. Like I love that kind of stuff.
Now, do you post TikToks or are you just like a lurker?
My girlfriend posts a lot, like not a lot, but she posts some with me. He posts some.
I'm not even gonna lie, I posted some. No, training camps get boring. You need to find stuff to do in the hotel room. So
fair enough.
So TikTok it is. That's funny, Matt. You tried to call Brennan out, but you're actually you're on TikTok as well. All right.
Yeah, no, I deleted the app because I actually had to stop. We were spending a way too much time.
Because you guys were both addicted and you both kicked it. So congratulations. All right, so this one's for you, Matt. You hold a German passport. I know that because it features very prominently on your Wikipedia page. I think it's like the second sentence.
Oh my God.
Can you confirm or deny whether you had anything to do with that? It seems like a big brain Harvard move to like let the German clubs know I have a German passport.
No, I mean, actually, I guess I do know what you mean because you can write on your own Wikipedia page.
Yeah, right?
No, I did not have anything to do that. I didn't even know I had a Wikipedia page, to be honest. But it was a long road to get that German passport. So I'm glad it's out there. Definitely good to have it, for sure.
Especially when you're younger.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, last one. So if Trump really bans TikTok in the U.S., Brendan, is that going to speed up your move to Europe?
TikTok, they banned TikTok. Like, some kids on TikTok actually pissed me off. I'm not going to lie. Like, we watched this thing. That's like, these kids are so cringy. But, like, I couldn't really care about it, really. Like, if you banned TikTok, I couldn't care now. Because if I was on it and I was addicted to it, yeah, I'd care about them banning it, but no.
So, like, a year ago, if they had banned it, you probably would have just jumped over to Europe, like, immediately, taking the first offer.
Probably.
All right. That's all I got, guys. Can't thank you enough. Great to you know, chat with you. Hopefully, people got a little bit of a better understanding of what you guys are all about. Can't thank you enough again. Stay safe over there, and thanks for jumping on.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Have a good one.
Nice to see you.
All right. We are –